Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor and ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. This is Document Management for Accountants to Go, a monthly podcast program with executive editor Darren Root and the country's foremost document management consultant, John Higgins. These thought leaders discuss all aspects of document management with a laser focus on the special needs of the practicing accountant.
Hi, this is Darren Root for Intersection Live, and you are listening to episode 13 of Document Management for Accountants to Go. I would like to thank our corporate sponsor, ADP, for sponsoring our podcast. I'm here with regular host John Higgins. John is a principal with CPA Crossings out in Metro Detroit. John's a national expert on all things digital, more specifically document management for accountants. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Darren. How are you today?
I'm fine. I'm ready for tax season. Here we are on April 3rd, and as you know, I'm a practicing CPA, so I'm ready for April 15th to roll around.
There you go. Start the countdown.
Absolutely. So today we're going to talk a little bit about scanner selection, best practices, and just a general discussion about scanning overall. Why don't you lead us down that path?
Okay. I think I'd like to start with the end, actually, in this discussion. And what I mean by that is that when it comes to scanning, that can be a very time-consuming process, no matter how well you design your scanning operations. So the first objective with scanning is to avoid it. And so you want to try to really do whatever you can with your clients and other third parties to have them provide you information electronically, and that will allow you to bypass the scanning step altogether. So that's kind of the first point I'd like to make.
Sure.
The second point is that when you think about developing scanning, it's like a lot of things with technology. There's always this kind of this desire to just go out and buy something that we can take out of a box and look at it and plug it in and have some fun with it. But it's prudent to take a little bit of time to think about what you want your overall scanning strategy to be in terms of how you want that workflow to go through your organization. And so from that perspective, there's really a couple of key choices you have to make right out of the gate before you start going off and looking for scanner equipment and scanner software. And that is essentially, do you want to go with more of a decentralized scanning approach, or do you want to go with more of a centralized scanning approach? And the differences can be significant. When we talk about decentralized scanning, that would be like how most organizations deal with printing today, where you probably have, you know, a number of printers throughout the office, and everybody just knows which printer they're going to send their reports to, and they go over and pick them up from the printer and bring them back to their desk. With scanning, decentralized scanning could be a similar concept where everybody's sharing, you know, a few different scanners around the office, or you might even go to the level where everybody has their own scanner on their desktop. And that has, you know, some benefits because people can just stay at their desk and do their scanning. But I'm not a big proponent of that. I'm much more in favor of the alternative, which is centralized scanning, where you really set up a workstation area. And depending on the size of your organization, it might be multiple areas. But the idea is you set up a dedicated area with a scan station operator, and that person will have a good high-quality scanner, preferably attached directly to a PC so they can do some quality control checking during the scanning process. And that way you accomplish a few key objectives. One is by consolidating the scanning operation, you can invest more money in a better scanner. The other, and I think even more important, is that you can have a much more consistent quality control because you're going to have just one or two people, perhaps, who are responsible for doing all the scanning in the organization. And so they can be, you know, trained to do it properly, have consistent quality control, and you're not using professional staff time to do an administrative task. It's a great time to start out, as they say, with a good habit. You know, instead of having your people who are, you know, client prof- professionals, spending time at the scanner, just like the copy machine, you can, out of the gate, you can really work to avoid that from happening. So those are just a couple of key points to kind of think about as you develop your overall scanning strategy.
Well, I mean, I definitely, you know, being in my practice, tend to agree with you. We've years ago were in the decentralized or in the centralized scanning mode, but that was kind of prior to this whole big document management push, at least in the last 7 or 8 years. And then we went to Fujitsu scanners on everybody's desktop. And I think you do run into a little bit of a consistency issue, and it takes professionals time. So I like what you're saying about thinking about how we go back to a centralized scanning and what those processes might look like. And I think the scanners are better today, and the software that run them are better today to equip that, don't you think?
Yeah, most definitely. And the pricing is getting better. Just like with computers, scanners pricing seems to continue to reduce year after year as the quality increases. So that's definitely a good thing.
The other thing that you said about centralized scanning, that, you know, in our old method, our, I guess my thought on centralized scanning was, you know, we had this combination HP machine that we could print to, which was kind of a big old moppier, but it would also digitally scan and would send it to an output file somewhere. And that always presented a challenge because it gave it a really long, non-meaningful name. And I like what you say about having a person that's actually doing that at a station versus we're just going to the central device.
Yeah, we found that, you know, when organizations set up that model, it tends to work the best. Now, you have to be at a certain level of volume, too, obviously, to be able to dedicate that workstation. But even if you can't have a specific individual responsible for all the scanning, even if you have a dedicated work area so that if your professional staff, you know, has to do their own scanning, at least they could say, okay, now it's time to go over and do scanning. I'm just going to go to that workstation area, sit down there, and I've got all the equipment at my disposal instead of having everybody with different equipment, because then, of course, you got the maintenance and support of that when you have multiple devices, when you have it decentralized. So maybe we can spend a few minutes and talk about the different types of scanners. That's probably a good starting point. And then go from there.
Sounds good.
Okay, so there's basically four categories of scanners out there in the marketplace. And there's a little bit of overlap, but we'll just kind of run through them and hit the key points of each one. The first we'll talk about is the flatbed scanner. And these are really pretty much becoming outdated, but they do still have some roles, some role in business organizations. The flatbed scanner, you've seen one somewhere along the way where they're just flat devices that sit on the top of the desk, and you open up the lid and you put the book or you put the document on top and you scan one page at a time. That's their downfall. They're great for scanning books because you can't run a book through a sheet feeder. You have to scan one page at a time. Although, a funny little side story of Darren, you know my partner Brian Smith.
Right.
He was taking some college courses online, and he had this big old thick book, and Brian really likes to be paperless, so he took the textbook, and probably a $150 textbook, and he went, and I forget exactly what tools he used. I think he used an X-Acto knife or something, or a box cutter, and he literally ripped the cover off, and he ran the 300 pages through his scanner so he could have the textbook in a paperless mode.
So that makes sense.
Yeah, but without that, so with the flatbed scanner, he would have had it. Spend all that time sitting there turning page after page to scan them. So they don't really have much use these days in an accounting firm. But it is nice when you have like big documents. Maybe you have a kind of an oversized work paper, maybe a columnar work paper for those that are still doing that on paper. You can scan it. In a couple of different snapshots, you might be able to get a picture of what you're trying to do.
Okay.
So that's probably enough to say about the flatbed scanner. The next category is really one of the most popular categories, and we'll just describe that as the sheet feed scanners. And these are designed, they come in different sizes and different performance levels. You can spend anywhere from, maybe a few hundred dollars on the low end to $5,000 and above on the high end. And the sheet feed gets its name from the fact that they have an automatic document feeder, or ADF is the acronym we use, and that's just where just like on a copy machine, you just drop in the documents, and the scanner will feed them through one at a time, and as it feeds each piece of paper through, it makes a picture. And we can come back and talk about specific features to look for in those, but that's really, by today's standards, I would say probably the most popular type of the four categories we're going to talk about.
Okay.
The third type, which is also very, very popular, especially in accounting firms, is the multifunction printer or copier. I think, would you use the term mopier, Aaron? Did I hear that?
Yeah, that's a model that HP had. I think they've discontinued that. But
oh, okay. I'd never heard the term before. I like it. So when we talk about the multifunction printer or the MFP, these are your copy machines that have the ability to also serve as a network printer, and then they also may very well have the ability to serve as a scanner. So I know a lot of firms we've gone into to help them with their document management system deployment, we come in and we like to talk about the concept of that scanning workstation, and they get a little frustrated because they say, well, geez, we bought this big old multifunction printer, and it works pretty well for us, so we just want to use it for our scanning. And you can use these. A lot of firms are using these to do the scanning. One of the downsides is you have to get up and go over to them, just like you do when you're going over to make photocopies. And then they usually end up scanning to a shared drive on your network. And so then you go back to your desk and you would locate where that scanned image is and do whatever it is you're going to do with that at a PDF or a TIFF file at that point. So probably the biggest downside to those is that they're, they aren't directly attached to a PC, typically. I mean, there may be some exceptions to that. And you have to physically go over to them. And they may not always be really good at handling dissimilar sized pieces of paper, whereas the sheet feed scanners tend to be designed to do a more effective job where the client brings in the proverbial shoebox of receipts and 1099s and W-2s, and you can just drop them in the hopper, and you'll have a pretty good success rate with a sheet feed of all those different document sizes going through and scanning effectively. In a multifunction printer device, a copier, they're really designed primarily to have 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper going through consistently. But they do, a lot of them do advertise that they can handle dissimilar size paper, so it's not like they can't do that. But I just think between the two, the sheet feed scanners tend to do a better job of handling a batch of dissimilar and smaller size pieces of paper.
Yep, I agree with you on that one.
So then the fourth category would be the portable scanners. And portable, it's just like with laptops. And in the old days, they had what we call luggables or lunch boxes. The scanners can be the portable scanners can be very, very small to where you can fit them into your laptop case, or they can be actually luggable where they may have their own carrying case, but they may be as big or even a little bulkier than a laptop. But the benefit, of course, there is you can take them out into the field, and if you've got an audit team going out to spend a few days at a client site and they want to do their own scanning, that's where the portable scanner can certainly prove to be beneficial. So those are
sure.
Really kind of the four categories. And it may be, depending on your organization, you may need a combination. You may already have the investment in the MFP device, so you want to take advantage of that investment if you can. And you may need some portable scanners to take out in the field. And then you may want to set up a dedicated scanning station where we would recommend the sheet feed model for that.
It sounds like, John, probably one of the first steps is to develop a strategy around scanning before you go out and buy a machine, as opposed to the opposite.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of figure out who you want to do your scanning, and then from there, that'll help you to develop a strategy, I think, of what device is going to be the best for you. And really, it comes down to, on the one hand, you got to decide if you need a portable scanner. Okay, that's kind of a decision of its own if you're going to do field work scanning. And then in the office, it becomes really more of a question of, okay, do we want to use our multifunction device or do we want to use a sheet feed scanner? And then if you decide to go the sheet feed scanner route, then the question is, okay, are we going to centralize that or are we going to decentralize it? And that just becomes then a question of when you centralize it, you can put more money into a better scanner. If you decentralize it, you're going to, want to make your dollars go farther, so you're going to have to go with the lower-priced, lower-quality scanners because you're buying more of them. That's typically how that works.
You know, one of the solutions that we implemented this year was Copanion has a product called GruntWorks Plus that they came out with in late February, which is where we're now scanning most of our tax documents and sending it to them to interpret it and to bookmark. So to sort and bookmark. But so how does a solution like that, and there's many other ones out there, how does a solution like that play into a decision?
Great question. There's a, you know, we talk about the scanning operation. There's really two big pieces to it. On the one hand, you have your scanning equipment, the device that's actually going to, you know, make the electronic images of the paper documents. And then you have the software side of it, which would, you know, there's a lot of different software tools out there that really enhance and do things with that scanned image. So, for example, and I like to just put those in a broad category, we call it intelligent scanning, because the technology there, the software technology in particular when it comes to scanning, is pretty amazing how just some of the things that are being done out there now with that software. And so on the one hand, you have Copanion, which I'd kind of put at one end of the spectrum, where you really just kind of, you just scan your documents in, it'll create, I think they take PDF, Darren, does Copanion take PDF?
They do, yes, yeah. They take PDFs.
Okay, so you basically just scan it into a PDF and you leave the driving to them, as they say. You just send the file off to them and upload it to their website, and they handle the rest from there on their end. And I don't really know specifically what exactly goes on in the back end there of their operation. I've seen a demo of their process over the web, and it, you know, seems to be a pretty good approach, where they do the cleanup, what I call the cleanup of the document. They organize the documents. When you tell me, Darren, because you're actually using it, so what do they come back with to you with when they're
Well, you know, they really had three different products. They had their original GruntWorks product, which I think, you know, they kind of put out there at $1, you know, per return.
Yeah.
And that product sort of, you know, you uploaded it to them and it would organize it, but wouldn't name anything. It just kind of put it in an order. It would say like W-2. It wouldn't say it was a W-2 from CPA Crossings. And so that left a little bit of a challenge because, you know, it's easier to review things if you know what which document you're looking at. And then they had another product on the other end of that spectrum called GruntWorks Plus or Pro. And what Pro did is it actually organized them, named them with the appropriate names, and then populated some tax software that they worked with, that they integrated with.
Yeah, okay.
And one of the things that I did is I talked to some people at Copanion and said, you know, it seems to me like once you've gone to the trouble of organizing it and naming it, why can't we stop it there and not go into a tax product? Because not every tax product works with it. And so in late February, they came out with a product called GruntWorks Plus, which now will organize it and name it appropriately. And it cleans it up. It puts all your back pages in an area, so it knows where you have blank pages. So if it was a back of a page, and so you can easily clean up your PDF and then bring it into your document management system from there. So they really have three levels today of product.
Okay, so the Plus kind of then came back in between the two, the Pro and the
It did.
Yeah,
that's probably
sense.
The one that you haven't seen yet, because it didn't launch till the end of February.
Okay, yeah, glad to hear that. So that's a good example there of, you know, where you have the ability to outsource that whole process of organizing the documents. And like I say, you leave the driving to them. So how much of that they do with software tools on their end versus having people do it, I don't really know. It's something to learn more about. But there are other software tools that you can deploy in your office that will do some of the same things. And the quality is going to be just dependent on the different tools. But for example, you have CCH has their ProFX Scan software, which is designed to do essentially the same thing as the GruntWorks, but there's no outsourcing of the process. You do it on your end with your software. So you scan it through your scanner, and then the scanned image runs through the ProFX Scan software, and it will organize it. It'll create the bookmarks for the PDF file. I don't know. I should know the answer whether or not it recognized the documents. Do you know, Darren? Have you seen that?
You know, I think they have a product that does recognize the documents. I don't know if it's the same one that you're talking about.
Yeah, well, I think they just have the one ProFX Scan. I think is the only one. There may be a Plus version of it. But I must recognize the documents because it does actually go to the next level, and it's a scan and fill product, as we call it.
Right.
It will identify information on the W-2 form and transfer that over to the ProFX Tax software. So similar to Copanion's Gruntworks Pro version then. Now, those, I've never, actually done a tax return in that environment myself, so I'm a little skeptical of having that whole process be a little bit too automated, it seems. But you do have the opportunity where it scans, lifts the data off of the document, puts it into the tax software, but you do have the ability to review that information before it actually goes in to the tax return, is my understanding. So, those are all things, those are tools that really can help to automate a process that can otherwise take a lot of people's time, especially if you have a high volume of, in this case, tax return preparation work. So whether you do it with a tool like, ProFX Scan, or you have Copanion's Gruntworks, as Darren was referring to, you have SurePrep has their tools, and Thompson GoFilem has their tax sort tool. Those are all just kind of different variations of a similar theme where they take the physical scanned image and then do as much as they can with that to organize the information for you, and in some cases take the data off the electronic documents and transfer it into the tax software. Now, there are other... go ahead, Dick.
I just want to follow up. It really does save a lot of time in the bookmarking and organizing your document and in the review process. If our listeners will take some time and look at some of these products, there really is some time savings there.
Yeah, that's good to hear. And that's, hearing it from the horse's mouth, because you actually have a pretty good sized tax practice, so you can speak from experience, definitely in that regard. I can, one experience I can share is I know back about probably 6 or 7 years ago now, one of the first firms we helped to implement a document management system with, at that time there were no bookmarking tools at all. And so they were doing back-end scanning. They'd finished the tax return process, and so they would have a PDF copy of the tax return and a PDF copy of all the supporting work papers. And they had an administrative person going in and then bookmarking after the fact. They determined that they wanted to do that, even though the engagement was basically done. And she was probably spending, I would say, an average to 30 to 45 minutes just creating bookmarks for each, tax return engagement.
Yeah.
And, that's an example right there. You can just literally eliminate that time altogether and probably by today's standards have a much better result as well.
Well, when you're reviewing the return on screen, with multiple monitors and stuff now, when you're reviewing the return on screen, it certainly helps to have those bookmarks when you're reviewing.
Yeah, no question about it. That way you can get quickly to the pages that you're working with. So
yeah.
Having those tools can be very, very beneficial. Another piece of software that's more generic, the ones we just talked about are really pretty specifically focused on 1040 work papers, is the VRS, which is COFAX is the manufacturer of VRS, which is an acronym for Virtual Rescan. And what the VRS software will do is it will, when you physically scan the document, it creates the electronic image, and then the VRS software will reprocess that image. It'll do OCR conversion, which means it makes the image, converts it into readable text, but it will also delete blank pages automatically. It'll detect that if a page was scanned upside down, it'll rotate it to the right direction. It'll despeckle it to get away, some of the stray marks and stuff that can come through in a scanned image. And it just does a really good job of cleaning up the document. Now, when you set up your scanning operation, you can buy the VRS software independent of your scanner, or when you shop for scanners, a lot of them will have VRS built into them or bundled in with them. And so you need to think about that, because it's a pretty good value when you start to look and see if that software is incorporated into the scanner or not. And I can just give you, I've got some notes here. I've got samples of a few scanners, for example, just to give you an idea of this. There is a Fujitsu. Fujitsu has a pretty good reputation when it comes to scanners, and they have a model that's a 6130. It sells for just under $1,000, but it includes the COFAX VRS software, which has a $240 value, And it also includes Adobe Acrobat, which is about a $250 value. So, you know, you're paying, I think I looked up the price on CDW, was like $930 a month or two ago.
Yeah.
And so for $930, you're getting $500 worth of software included in that. So you're basically paying about $400 for a 40-page per minute scanner with 50-sheet document feeder. And then, as I say, it's got the VRS, the Koufax VRS built in, and the Adobe software comes with it as well.
We have about 8 of that model here in the office, and they've been a really nice workhorse for us. We have the 6130s and the 6140s, and they've been a nice workhorse for us. And the other plus to that product line is that they're Twain compliant. So if you have a document management system that you can pull straight from the scanner into, those will work with that.
Yeah, and that's a great point about that Twain compliance. And the Twain, by the way, the acronym comes from Never the Twain Shall Meet. I was doing some research on that. there's two definitions of the acronym. One is Never the Twain Shall Meet, and the other is Technology Without an Interesting Name. So you can pick whichever one you like. But the Twain that Never Shall Meet comes from the fact that the Twain driver allows you to control the scanner. It serves as a bridge between your software applications and the scanner. And most of your desktop scanners, your sheet feed scanners, will have Twain compliance. But I have to tell you, the scanner that I use does not have that. And I don't do a lot of scanning. I probably, you know, if I scan 20 pages a month, that's a busy month for me. And so I have the Fujitsu ScanSnap. It's a nice little device that sits on my desk. And it's about about a little under $500 these days. But the only downfall to it is it's not Twain compliant. And so because I don't do a lot of scanning, I generally just would work directly from Adobe Acrobat. I can't go into Adobe Acrobat and control my scanner because I don't have that Twain driver. So what I have to do is I have to go to the scanner, push the button. It's not a big deal. I just push the button, and it scans and generates the scanned image. And it will convert it into PDF, and it'll launch Acrobat for me. So it gets to the same end objective, but it's just can be at times a little bit of a nuisance because I might be working on another PDF file in Acrobat, and I just want to scan a page into it. I can't do that from within Acrobat. So
yeah.
Just kind of keep that in mind. There are a few models, but there's not many. I just happen to have one of the few that doesn't have that Twain compliance, so I can appreciate the benefit of when you do have that.
Well, many of those multifunction devices, you know, the centralized copier scanners, I don't believe they're Twain compliant usually, are they?
That's a good point. Yeah, they're not. I think that's definitely the case because they're, like I said before, they're designed pretty much just to scan into somewhere on your network drive, and then it's up to you to go into your software applications, whether it's Adobe Acrobat or your DMS, and then pick the file up from there. Now,
sure.
Some of your DMS programs are designed where you can have them point to a specific drive so that you go over to the multifunction scanner, you scan it, and it goes into your network drive somewhere. The document management software can be constantly monitoring that directory on the drive, and it'll upload the file that it finds there.
Okay.
That gets more into the document management piece of it in terms of how that actually can operate. But, that's a good point as well. As far as the multifunction devices.
Do you, so we talked about Fujitsu a little bit. What other scanners have you had a lot of luck with?
Well, you've got Xerox has got some good scanners. Kodak has some nice portables as well as some luggable scanners. HP and Canon. There's quite a few, and, you know, you could go to, you know, any computer distributor. We used CDW a lot on the web, www.cdw.com, just because they're just a online distributor. So they'll have all the models, and they do a pretty good job of, you know, providing the spec sheets, so you can really review what each vendor has to offer, the different model levels, and what the pricing is. But I'd have to say it's I'm not sure how it happened, but it seems like in all the experience I've had, Fujitsu seems to have, like, a lot of the market share
know,
when it comes to accounting firms. And I'm a big believer in follow the leader when it comes to stuff like that, because that just means there's going to be more opportunities for repair and service and so forth, you know, different vendors that can work with it. But there's a lot. You know, just you stick with your brand names, I think, is key. And like I say, Xerox, Kodak, Canon, HP, those are all, you know, strong brand names as well. And just a matter of
I've got to attest that our Fujitsus have been workhorses. We've had them for years. And, you know, we're just now going, I mean, I think we went about 7 years before we've gone through our first replacement round.
Wow.
And they just worked.
Yeah, that's great. Great to hear. That's the experience we've seen out there in the field as well. They're pretty reliable machines.
So you mentioned earlier, and I don't want to digress too much, but you mentioned earlier, you know, the price ranges can be anywhere from, you know, $500 on some of these, you know, sheet fed ones to up to $5,000. What kind of things should we be thinking about as we as we're shopping for those?
Yeah, the key things are first and foremost would be just throughput. And throughput you can measure in terms of the speed, and the speed is going to be in pages per minute. So your portables are going to range typically in the area of 5 to maybe on a luggable they might be like 20 pages per minute that they can scan, which is, you know, pretty decent performance in a portable environment. When you go to the sheet feeds, you can probably find ranges there from like 20 pages per minute to 100 pages per minute. And you can go up beyond that, but then we're talking about, you know, production level scanners. And the multifunctions would be about the same range, 20 to 100 pages per minute. So it seems like the sweet spot, like Fujitsu 6130 is rated at, let me see my notes here.
It's around 40, isn't it?
40, yeah, 40 pages per minute. So
yeah,
that seems to be pretty good pace, because if you're on a dedicated environment where you've got to connect it to the PC, and I'll just, you know, touch on the best practices while we're going through this, is that we recommend that the person responsible for scanning should be looking at every single page that's scanned, the image of it. Now, when I say that, that scares people over. They say, man, that seems like a lot of time. All we mean is just to, you know, if you got a 200-page document, you scan it in, and in your dedicated scan station, that file is going to feed right into typically either a PDF or a TIFF format. And so the scan operator could just be looking at the screen and just page, you know, doing a full page view and just page down, click, 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 you know, mouse or page down, either way, just to make sure that the page didn't get dog-eared, bent in half, or, you know, you thought you had a good scan, but maybe something happened where it just scanned 20 pages and it didn't pick up the content properly. Those things can happen. I mean, the scanner may malfunction. You know, it may look like everything worked fine, but the image may not have processed properly. And so that way, if you have a 40-page per minute scanner, it's going to generate those images and those files about as fast as the person can process them. And you know, I like to say it's an iPod job. I mean, the person doesn't have to be really thinking a lot. They just can sit there and just do a visual scan real quick of each page, and just because if you're truly going paperless, then those pages that you're scanning are either going back to the client or they're going to the shredder, and so you got to make sure you got a good copy right off the get-go to
yeah,
avoid problems.
I think that's good advice.
So it's an investment, of course, in someone's time, but it's just it can pay big dividends, and that's one of the advantages again of going to centralized scanning. That person could be obviously at a much lower price per hour than if you had your professional staff reviewing every single scanned image.
Well, I think it would be nice, like you and I talked about on our last episode, we talked about Adobe and some of Adobe's capabilities. And so if you're scanning these in PDF, it would be nice if the person who was kind of in charge of that had some Adobe skills. And so if a document didn't scan appropriately, how do you get that document back into the flow of the you know, the whole file, and just things like that.
Yeah, you know, I've always said that from the very first start when I began helping firms with document management is that, to me, it seems like an opportunity to actually create a new position or a new area of responsibility in a firm called, like, the document librarian or the document manager. And so every piece of paper that comes into an organization, that should be the first stop, is go to that person's desk, and maybe it's two people that share the responsibility, and that's their job. They become the experts to get everything from paper into electronic format, And that way you truly can move to a paperless model because nobody else even has access to paper unless they create it themselves. And those people then could really, like you say, Darren, be trained to really take it to the next level and, you know, do some organization and, you know, be consistent in where they get filed. Because when we talk about the document management software, it's good news, bad news. The good news is they all have pretty good capabilities to define how you want to organize your filing system. The bad news is somebody's, you know, you still have to have some consistency. It's you know, you don't completely get away from the problems of Windows Explorer where people can be making folders and subfolders wherever they want with different names.
Yeah.
But you do have, you know, the opportunity to have much better structure in a DMS, but it still it relies on the users to be thoughtful about, okay, this document needs to go here, this document needs to go there. And so if you got 40 people in an organization making that decision, you're still going to end up with the inconsistencies. Whereas if you just had a couple people who said, you know, okay, that's their job, they're going to apply the rules, you know, obviously on a more consistent basis.
You know, John, even in my firm of 11, I can see the value of having that that document librarian, so to speak, because it would take a lot of pressure off of other folks in the organization, give us more consistency, and we could train that person to be really solid in that area.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunity there, and that takes that position to the next level as well. So it no longer is an iPod job. Now you really get to thinking about what you're doing, and they become a key part of the team. And, you know, it could even be potentially a good role for interns, because that way they really get a good perspective on all the different types of information that flow into the firm, or maybe a first-year person, and they could do that in addition to also doing some, you know, simpler tax returns and so forth. So there's ways to definitely make that work.
Sure. What other things should we touch on before we run out of time?
Well, we talked about, just as far as evaluation, we talked about the speed, the scanning speed. The other key thing, two key things I would point out is just you want to look at the overall document feeder functionality. How many pieces of paper can we put in the document feeder at one time? And making sure that when you look at the rating of a scanner's performance, and they say it's 40 pages per minute, does that take into account the speed at which the document feeder passes it through? Because that could potentially be a drag on the actual performance of the scanner. But even more importantly there is, can the document feeder, how well does it handle when you have dissimilar size pieces of paper? So it's definitely worth, if you have the opportunity to see the scanner before you buy it, to take a stack of just, you know, dissimilar size sheets of paper, a W-2s, a couple W-2s, 1099s, a bank statement, and maybe some taxi cab receipts if you really want to test it, and drop them through and just see how well it does. And, you know, no scanners are perfect. You're always going to have some jam-ups, and, you know, sometimes you just learn to work through those issues when you have really small pieces of paper. But it helps if they can effectively run through a good batch of dissimilar size pieces of paper. One other important thing when looking for a scanner is the connectivity, the term I'm looking for, the way it's connected to the computer. And you have in the old models, you had the parallel connection. Those are, you know, gone by the wayside pretty much with the flatbed scanners. And so today, you pretty much have what we call a SCSI interface, and you'd have USB is by far the most common. The only thing to be careful about with the USB, if you happen to have an older computer that you're connecting the scanner to, or the scanner itself is an older model, there's two different levels of USB. They have the version 1 and version 2, and the difference in performance is incredible. So you don't have to worry about it if you're buying new equipment today. They're all going to be the version 2 standard of USB. But I had an actual experience with this with a firm out in California where I went out there, and they had a couple of, like, at the time, those were probably $5,000 scanners. They had two of them on there, and they said, John, we're trying to figure out what's going on with these scanners because they're just so slow. And it was incredible. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, is that it was like three pages a minute to scan. And these are, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 scanners. So we did a little research, and what it was, they had the old USB connection. It was just you know, barely passing that data over to the PC. It was just crawling. So all they did literally was they upgraded the USB pour it on the computers, I think it was, and then they got the performance out of the scanners that they were supposed to. So.
Sure. Yeah, well, there's something to be said for keeping your hardware up to date.
Yeah, no question about that.
So, well, John, I think we're about out of time today. I really appreciate you taking the time this morning. I think this is a great topic. I think it's going to continue to be hot for a number of years. There's a lot of product that's hitting this marketplace, and there's a lot of discussion around it. And I know you guys at CPA Crossings do a fantastic job of helping us think through this, and I want to thank you for spending the time today.
Well, thank you for that, and I really appreciate it, and I enjoy doing these. So thanks for having me.
Great. I'll talk to you next month.
Okay, take care.
The CPA Technology Advisors Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. For more information about the CPA Technology Advisors' other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit cpatechnologyadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106. Or tune in to future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.